This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with our series called Doing Business with God. In this series, Pastor Rick helps you understand why you work, what you should be working for, and how God can use you in your workplace. In just a bit, we'll tell you how to get a DVD study kit of this series that's perfect for your individual study and also great to do with a small group of friends. You can take a sneak peek by going to PastorRick.com right now while you listen, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called Standing Out at Work.
40% of your life you'll spend at work. So you really need to know, what is God's will for your work? What am I supposed to do with 40% of my life? And we've been looking at that from different angles. But I got a couple letters from you, and I want to read them. One of them said, "Dear Pastor Rick, this week I'm starting a search for my first job. What advice do you have for me? What should I talk about? What are the things employers are looking for?" That's a good question. And then I also got this question from somebody. "Dear Pastor Rick, here's my question. What does it take to get a promotion?" I love this. "It seems like I've been stuck in my current position forever. I see peers of mine getting promoted from time to time, yet I'm always overlooked. Just doesn't seem fair. I'm a hard worker, I do my work well, and I never cause any problems. I feel like I should be rewarded for my long tenure and for not moving to another business. What's wrong?" Well, first, on the second one, whoever wrote it, I'm sorry for your frustration. But part of the problem may be your misunderstanding of what it takes to get a promotion. Most people think that promotions are given as a reward for past service. I did good in my job, therefore I get promoted. That simply isn't true, friends. And you need to eliminate that myth from your mind. That's not why people get promotions. People don't get promoted for past performance. They get promoted on the promise of future performance, that they'll actually do better, accomplish more, be more beneficial to the company in the future. It's not a reward for the past. Let me, before we even actually get into the message, let me give you what I call the laws of promotion, okay? There's no room on your outline for this, so write it on your arm, okay? Law number one of promotion, to get a promotion in a business, is this. Promotions aren't given to reward past performance. They aren't. They're given as a promise for future performance. Number two, if you are more valuable where you are in the job you're in right now, you're not going to get a promotion. Now listen to me very clearly. Irreplaceable people don't get promoted. Does that make sense? Because if you're doing such an incredible job at what you're doing, nobody wants to move you. Because you have made yourself so irreplaceable. You're the only one who knows how to do that in the company. You didn't train anybody else. And if you are irreplaceable, then you won't be replaced. Here's a little tip from your pastor. If you want to get promoted, you need to train somebody to do what you're doing. So you're not irreplaceable. You need to train somebody else to know all of the inner secrets of the job that you do so you could hand it off. Law number three of promotions is, if it costs your employer more to replace you, you're not getting replaced. They're going to hire somebody else. If a job opening comes up, but to replace you would cost more because of what you're doing, they're not going to replace you. That's why you don't want to be irreplaceable. Not if you want to get promoted. Number four, the fourth law is this. You only get promoted if your employers think you will benefit their future more in a new position. Now you need to realize this. When people are being considered for promotion, they're not thinking about your past, they're thinking about their future. Let me say that again. People aren't thinking about your past. Oh, she's done such a great job. She should be promoted. They aren't thinking about your past. They're thinking about their future. But if they see how you could actually help them get to where they need to go, then you have a greater chance of being promoted. Another law, fifth law, would be this. If you are working in a job or you're working on something that becomes unimportant in your company, then you increasingly become unimportant to getting a promotion. So what I'm saying is this, you always want to get involved in the projects that are most important to your company, even if you have to volunteer to do it. It may not be your current job, but if you hear about a project that's going on in your business that you think that's important to the future of the company, that's where you want to volunteer. I'd be glad to help out with that. Volunteering is a great way to do that. You got to get involved. And then finally, rule number six is this. Promotions aren't based on how good you are. Promotions are based on who knows how good you are.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. Now, if you'd like to connect with Pastor Rick online, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. You can also sign up for his free daily email devotional. That's PastorRick.com.
Do you want to earn more than just a living? You can, because God planned a ministry for you through the work you do. It doesn't matter what your job is, a manager, a stay-at-home mom or dad, a doctor, a teacher, or a sales clerk, paid or volunteer. The Bible says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart and with enthusiasm as working for the Lord, not for man. No matter what your daily routine looks like, God wants to use your work to minister to others. That's why Pastor Rick put together a study kit called Christians in the Workplace. It includes a six-session study guide and DVD where Azusa Pacific professor Paul Schreier works with Pastor Rick to teach you how to transform your everyday tasks into a ministry. In this study kit, you'll discover how to find opportunities for spiritual growth at work, a guide to moral and ethical decisions, and creative ways you can share your faith. When you employ biblical strategies every day, you'll store up riches in heaven, and you may even find yourself getting a promotion at work. When you give a gift to support Daily Hope, we'll send you the Christians in the Workplace Study Kit to say thanks. Call 800-600-5004 to get yours, or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 1-800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Today is the last day to get your copy of this great study resource, so don't wait.
Once again, here's Rick.
Promotions aren't based on how good you are. Promotions are based on who knows how good you are. You could be really, really, really good at your job, and if nobody knows it, you're not going to get promoted. Promotions aren't based on how good you are. They're based on who knows how good you are. Now, you say, well, I don't want to be bragging. This isn't bragging. It's not a sin for you to let people know what you're good at. You need to understand that. It's not a sin to let people know, particularly in the business where you are, what you are good at. In fact, this is what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand. Let it shine for all to see. In the same way, let your good deeds, circle that, good deeds. Let your good deeds, let the things that you're good at, your good works, your good deeds, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. Circle the word shine. Shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Did you know that God wants you to shine at work? Did you know that God wants you to shine out at work? He wants your work to be so good, and he wants everybody to know it's good. Let your good works shine out so they give praise to your heavenly Father. Christians should have the best reputation for quality work, excellent work, energetic, enthusiastic work of anybody. God wants you to shine out at work. He wants you to stand out at work. So we're going to look this weekend at how you do that. How do you stand out at work so you get noticed? If you've ever wondered, how do I get out of a dead-end job that I feel stuck in? Or how do I get a promotion when all my peers are getting promoted and I'm not? Or how do I get hired for a job when there's so much competition competing for the same job? How do I stand out in that job interview process? If you've ever asked those questions, you picked a good week to come to church. Because we're going to look at that, how to stand out at work. And we're going to look at the six most promoted traits. These are the six most in-demand traits that employers look for when they're looking for somebody to say, let's give that person a promotion. How do I know this? Because they're covered in the greatest promotion story of all time. Genesis chapter 37 to chapter 50 is all about one guy, and his name is Joseph. Joseph is the most amazing story of promotion ever told. Now, everybody loves a rags-to-riches story. We like these stories, rags-to-riches. The guy who was a nobody who becomes a somebody. Well, that's exactly what happened to Joseph. In fact, he went from being a slave to going to prison. First, he went from being kidnapped to being a slave to going to prison to being the number one guy in charge of the greatest country at its pinnacle of power, the Egyptian Empire. He was second only to Pharaoh. Pharaoh put him in charge of the entire country, and he wasn't even Egyptian. Now, that's what I call a promotion. Going from prison to president in one lifetime. That's what I call a promotion. And the Bible tells us that these stories are in Scripture to teach us by example. And we're going to look at six traits in Joseph's life that caused him to go from being in prison to becoming president, the greatest promotion in history, and put him in charge of the most powerful empire of its day. And he saved not only Egypt, but also Israel and a number of other countries. So get out your pencils and your pens, open your Bible to Genesis chapter 37. We're going to look at what it takes to get a promotion. Now, the background, there was a guy named Abraham. And Abraham had a son named Isaac, who was the promised child. And then Isaac had a son named Jacob. These are the patriarchs of the nation of Israel. Now, you've heard of the 12 tribes of Israel. They came from the 12 sons of Jacob. Jacob had 12 boys, and each of his boys founded one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Son number 11 was a guy named Joseph, and he was daddy's favorite. And because he was daddy's favorite, he got preferential treatment, and it made the other 11 brothers hate Joseph because he was daddy's boy. And he was the second of the youngest, but he was the most loved, obviously. His dad even went out and bought him a very expensive multicolored coat one day and gave it. And Joseph was stupid enough to wear it around in front of his brothers and rub their noses in it. And they just hated him. And so they wanted to get rid of him. And one day they conspired to kill him. They said, let's just kill him. We all hate our brother, so we're just going to kill him. Reuben, who was the oldest, said, no, we can't kill our own brother. I tell you what, let's do. Let's sell him into slavery. Oh, that's very helpful. Thank you, Reuben. Very, very nice. So some traveling Arabs come by in a caravan, and they sell Joseph to the Arabs, the Midianites, and then they fake his death and claim that he was eaten by a bear. And the Midianites take Joseph on down into Egypt, where now he's not just a slave, he's auctioned off to a guy named Potiphar, who was a Egyptian official. But Joseph had some amazing qualities, and we're going to look at them this weekend. And so wherever he went, God just blessed him. And he kept getting promoted. Even in the worst circumstances, he kept getting promoted. he had what was called favor on his life. And God would bless him, even though everything was going wrong in his life, he would find blessing in that circumstance. And so he goes to work for Potiphar, and he does such a good job, Potiphar just really begins to like this kid. And he really loves him, and actually he learns to trust him more and more and more, and pretty soon Potiphar puts him in charge of his entire house. And then Mrs. Potiphar begins to notice that this guy is good looking. And so she starts trying to seduce him. With Joseph, being a man of integrity, refuses to do this, refuses to give in. We'll look at this in a minute. But finally, once she's spurned enough times, she cries foul, and she claims that Joseph raped her. Actually, Joseph did the exact opposite. But she claimed it, and so Potiphar, very angry, has this man who he had trusted thrown into prison. Now, his life has gone from bad to worse. First, being kidnapped. First, being rejected by your family. Second, being kidnapped. Third, being taken hostage to a foreign country. Fourth, being sold into slavery. And fifth, being falsely accused of rape and thrown in prison. Not a very good life, would you say? I mean, he's going, where is God in all of this? And you may be in a stage of your life where you're going, where is God in all of this? The story isn't finished in your life. God had Joseph exactly where he wanted him to. It just so happened that Pharaoh had two of his court cabinet, his cupbearer and his baker, had offended Pharaoh at some party. And so he had his baker and his cupbearer thrown into prison along with Joseph. While they're in prison, they both have dreams. And Joseph goes, well, you know what? I'm not a dream interpreter, but God can tell you the meaning of that. And so I'll pray and ask God. And so God tells Joseph the meaning of these two dreams. He shares it with the cupbearer and the baker. And the bottom line is that the cupbearer gets restored to power. The baker is killed. And Joseph says, by the way, when you get to back into the palace, you might put in a good word for me. Well, the guy promptly forgets Joseph, and doesn't even. So Joseph is languishing longer and longer and longer in prison. Then a little while later, Pharaoh has some dreams, and they're very, very disturbing. And when he has these dreams, he's going, I wonder if anybody could tell me the meaning of these dreams. And all of a sudden, the cupbearer goes, oh, I know a guy who could do that. I forgot to tell you about him, boss. And the guy says, well, go get him. He says, well, actually, he's not Egyptian. He's Hebrew. He's Jewish. Well, where is he? He's in prison. Well, get him out of prison and bring him here. So they get Joseph out of prison. They have him go shave. They have him take a bath. They have him put on clean clothes. He comes in, and he correctly interprets Pharaoh's dreams. He says, the two dreams you've had are this. You're going to have a good economy for 7 years. And he says, things are really going to go great, and you're going to have abundance, there's going to be fruitfulness. But he said, after that, you're going to have 7 bad years where it's going to be recession. It's going to be famine. It's going to be starvation. It's going to be really bad. And Pharaoh goes, well, what do you think I ought to do? He goes, well, you ought to go out and find the smartest man you can find and put him in charge of a plan to have people save 20% of the profits every year during the 7 good years and put them away and store all the wheat, store all the grain, so that then when the famine comes, you don't lose your kingdom and you make it through a tough time. Pharaoh goes, you're the smartest guy I know. And he promotes him. And he issues a decree and he says, everyone is to follow anything Joseph says from now on. I put him in charge of the entire nation of Egypt. He's now in charge. The only person above him is me. But every decision he makes, you are to follow. And so wherever Joseph goes, they all bow down to him. He's now the most powerful man on planet Earth. He's gone from prisoner to president. That's quite a promotion. What happened in all that time? How in the world did that happen? Well, from his life, we learn the 6 traits that get you promoted. The 6, and these, by the way, today, even today, they still work. They're the 6 most in-demand traits that employers look for when they're looking for somebody to hire. Let's look at them. By the way, these traits are not in order of importance, okay? They are in order of the story. So they're chronological. It's not like the first one's the most important. It's just the one that comes up first. So they're all important. Number one, the first trait that Joseph shows is audacity. And if you want to make it in a career, you have to show audacity. You have to show this character quality that Joseph develops and shows in his life. He has a big dream. Now, in each of these qualities, I've written a definition for you there on your outline. So you might want to fill this in. What is audacity? Audacity is the courage to think big. It's the courage to think big, to show initiative, and to take risks for a dream while facing the possibility of failure. That is audacity. And it's the first trait we see in Joseph's life. The courage to think big, to show initiative, and to take risks for a dream while facing the possibility of failure.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time together, so please stay with us. If you missed anything, just go to PastorRick.com to listen online anytime or to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Do you want to earn more than just a living? You can, because God planned a ministry for you through the work you do. That's why Pastor Rick put together a study kit called Christians in the Workplace. Here's Rick to tell you more.
Did you know that even your job matters to God? Your work matters for eternity. Did you know that? The Bible says in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, that means whatever job you've got right now, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. You see, God gave you a special calling to your work, and he placed you around certain people so you can minister to them right there where you work. Now, whether your work is paid or volunteer, whether you work in an office or at a job site or in your home with your kids, God has planned this work to be a ministry for you through the work you do. That's why I want to help you discover how God is at work in your work. So I've put together a study kit for you. It's called Christians in the Workplace. Now, I believe this study will energize you. It'll equip you for your ministry at your work. This Christians in the Workplace study kit includes a 6-session study guide and a DVD that I actually developed with Professor Paul Schreier. He's a professor at Azusa Pacific University, Christian University, and these sessions also include helpful interviews from real people who are living out their faith at work. I know it's going to help you and encourage you. Now, throughout this study, Christians in the Workplace, you're going to learn how God calls and equips you to do your work and why your work is a ministry. And I'll teach you to see your work as an opportunity for spiritual growth and how to develop moral and ethical character to guide you at your work. Plus, I'm going to show you how to find opportunities to share your faith, how to be a witness at work. I want to send you this Christians in the Workplace study kit to say thanks to you for supporting Daily Hope financially. Anytime you give a financial gift to support this ministry this month. Now, let me tell you how to use this kit. You're going to get the most out of it if you invite a few friends over and you do this study together as a small group. Yes, you'll benefit from individual study, but you'll get more out of it if you include more people. By the way, you know we are a listener-supported ministry, and your financial gifts make it possible for me to teach people around the world about the hope that we have in Christ. Let me just say thank you to you for your regular faithful gifts.
Request yours today by calling 800-600-5004. That's 1-800-600-5004 today. Or just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And thanks so much for your support. Today is the last day to get this great study tool, so don't wait. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.